the readings of this Sunday, and we see this particularly in the first reading and also the Gospel, but there is some of it also in the Epistle to St. Timothy, have to do with leprosy. Now, in our day and age, leprosy is not a major problem, at least not in this country. There are some countries where it is. It's a very serious problem. And though it is not per se contagious, there is a particular thing in our bodies, in some of us anyway, that makes us propensity to contract leprosy, which is a very horrible disease, very painful, and of course, eventually, as we've seen in pictures mostly, and we can see St. Damian of Molokai, for instance, that your nose, or your ears, your fingers, and other parts of your body just rot and fall off with the leprosy. Not a particularly pleasant thing. And so there are countries in the south of the hemisphere and in Asia and Africa that have this problem still. And so this obviously speaks to them in this regard. But for us, the leprosy that is being discussed here is the leprosy of sin. And everybody has that. There's no exceptions. The Blessed Mother, our Lord, St. Joseph, St. John the Baptist, they were exempted from that. They were free from sin. Either conceived immaculate or born immaculate. But none of us is born immaculate. We need baptism. And that only takes away some of the fomes peccati, as it is in theology said, which is the effects and all the other things that happen to come along with original sin. Part of the effects of original sin is the fact that we have the desire to sin some more. And it is a vicious, never-ending circle. So we have to be very careful with that. But the leprosy of sin. Now here we have a very short part of the story of Naaman the Syrian. He was a high official in the court of Syria. And they had taken a Jew captive. And he was there in the court, but he was a very high up ranking slave. And he told him, if you went to my land, to Israel, maybe you could get healed. So he did, and he was told by the prophet Elisha, dip yourself 7 times in the water of the Jordan River. Now, of course, he was skeptical, even though he had come. He had a little bit of faith. He was skeptical because he said, we have much better bodies of water in our land than this. This is just a little creek. What am I coming here to do this for? And his servants told him, well, you know, you've come all this way, and are you not going to obey what he says to you? So he finally obeys. Not always do we want to obey. Sometimes when we go to confession or other circumstances, the priest tells us to do this or that or the other, and we don't want to do it. Well, do you want to be saved or not? It's your choice. If you do, then go ahead and do it. And if you don't, then that's your tough luck. You have chosen for yourself. So Naaman thought he was not an idiot. He was very close to the king in rank. He said, well, I better do what I'm told. There must be a reason for this. So he did. And he dipped himself in the Jordan River 7 times. And after the 7th time, he came out, and his body was clean, like the body of a baby, as we say. And so, of course, he gave thanks. And then he wanted to give lots of money and jewels and so forth to the prophet Elisha. Elisha didn't want it. He had no need for that. But then he said, well, let me at least take some of the earth that surrounds the river to take with me so I don't have to come back. Now, it's interesting because this is something that was very common in the old days. We know, for instance, when St. Helen found the true cross, she founded a basilica in Jerusalem of the true cross, and then she took several boatloads of earth from Calvary and the surrounding area of the earth to Rome, and as a result, she built there with the relics present, which are still there to this very day, the Basilica of the True Cross of Jerusalem in Rome, not far from the cathedral. Well, in the Gospel, we have the lepers again. This time, our Lord was going about doing his apostolic work, which we all who are called by him need to do. And so these lepers come up to him, but stay at a distance, because they thought it was contagious. If you touched a person with leprosy, immediately you become a leper yourself. And it was a horrible fate. They had to live outside of the city in a camp, and they had to eat separately and bathe separately and so forth. In the meantime, all the horrible effects. So they stayed at a distance, and our Lord just simply said, again, like to Balaam, Elijah, something very, very, very simple. And when you consider it, whenever we sin and we go to confession, most of what we are told to do is very simple. Now, in the Middle Ages, and until very recently, penances for sins, and there's books, penitentials, that say, well, for this sin, you are supposed to give this penance. For that sin, that penance. Those penances included whipping and sitting on sackcloth and ashes, a lot of the times sitting in front of the cathedral for a certain period of time, so the whole town would know that you were a great sinner. And so the penances of today, you know, say three Hail Marys, three Our Fathers, whatever, they're very, very, very simple. And so this is the same thing as Balaam and these 10 lepers. Well, they went, they were totally clean, the leprosy was gone, but only one returned to give thanks. This gospel is oftentimes used around the time of Thanksgiving. We're early for that yet, but we have to give thanks always to God. So our Lord, not wondering in the sense that he didn't know what was happening, because God, Lord, knew everything. He says, where are the other nine? Were they not all cleansed? Of course, our Lord knew that they were. Why? Because he cleansed them instantly. But only one, and in this case, and we've seen this, and we'll see it again, a Samaritan, one that was considered by the Jews an enemy of Israel, an enemy of the people of Israel. And it was one of them, not the Jews, but the Samaritan, who came to give thanks. And so he said to him, stand up and go. He fell to his knees before Christ. Stand up and go. You have been cleansed. Your faith, and not only faith, but the obedience of faith has saved you. And of course, faith is usually called in theology the obedience of faith. We need to obey God and what he tells us. And do we? And of course, each one has to answer for himself. The obedience of faith. Also on this day, we celebrate two other things that are of consequence. It is the feast, the ancient feast, of the divine maternity of Mary. Mary is not just the mother of anybody. She is the mother of God. The son that was born to her through the power of the Holy Spirit, was the Son of God, who by her compliance with the archangels and Gabriel became the Son of Man. And she is the Mother of God. And of course, many people, the heretics in particular, and there are many of those, do not believe that she is the Mother of God. They just think that Jesus is some special person. Jesus is not a special person. He is God, the Son of God, the second person of the Blessed Trinity. Mary is his mother. Thus, she is the Mother of God. And of course, in the 4th, 5th centuries, the heretic Nestorius began to teach that she was only the mother of the human nature of Christ. So she was not the Mother of God. Because in the Greek, they're very exacting about this from the time of the Council of Ephesus, which was called forth by the Holy Father at that time. Theotokos, she bore God. She did not just bear any person, just as you and I or anybody else that is born. She bore God. Theotokos. Mary is the Mother of God. And of course, so today we celebrate, in addition to this vigil of Sunday, as we did this morning, the feast of the Divine Maternity of Mary. And it is also the feast of Pope St. John the 23rd. St. John the 23rd wished to start the Second Vatican Council, which he had not foreseen would be anything like what it happened to be. It totally went awry, and all kinds of things happened during and after. But St. John the 23rd wanted it to be under the auspices of Mary, the Mother of God. And so the council started on this day in 1962. So when he was canonized, they chose this day, not as the day of his birth nor of his death, but this day to be his feast. And of course, St. John the 23rd not only was a tremendous priest and bishop and also a pope, but he was also very, very devoted to the Blessed Mother. He, almost every day of his life, said the 15 mysteries of the Rosary every single day. So today the Church honors him. And of course, I realize that some people don't like what happened during and after the Council. That was not what he wanted. If you want to see what he wanted, read the opening discourse that he pronounced at the beginning of the Council. None of that happened. And we're still suffering from all the evil that took place afterwards. So today we honor St. John the 23rd. And I would not be here if it were not for him. When I was a teenager, I became the godfather to one of my best friends in Virginia. And for Christmas, he gave me a book that I have treasured ever since. And I since have other copies. The one I got from him was in English, but I got the Italian original, and I've got it in Spanish and in French. And it is the Journal of a Soul, which was the diary, the spiritual diary of John 23rd, Angelo Roncalli, which was his name by baptism. It was so wonderful. I started it out after Christmas, and I ended it in the seminary. It is one of the most powerful, most beautiful books that I have ever read. And it's very long. It's not like the little flower who wrote her story of a soul, and it's only about 100 pages. It's hundreds of pages. It's this thick. So you have to be serious about it. And of course, he was in his 80s when he died. So that was a long time to write every day something about his spiritual life. So I recommend that very highly. But if it were not for him, I would not be here. I would not have entered the seminary. I would not have become a priest. So, you know, he was before my time, and I never met him, of course, but I would have loved to have met him. I did become very good friends with his secretary, Cardinal Roncalli, viruses running around in the air. Either way, his secretary, I spoke about him this morning, and he and I became very good friends. Later on, he was made a cardinal, and he died just several years ago. He was almost 100 when he died. And so he told me that St. John the 23rd died of a broken heart because nothing that he wanted to happen at the council happened. They disobeyed him totally and completely. So much so, and some people will be surprised, one of the people that he named as one of the leaders of the council was none other than His Excellency Archbishop Marcel Lefebvre. So that should tell you everything about what John the 23rd wanted. But anyway, if you have time and interest, because this is very important for our religion and for our history today, read some of these things, because it's very, very important. But here we have Naaman, Balaam, and Elijah, and the 10 lepers. It was very simple to do what God wanted. But they did not really want to do it. But only one came back to give thanks. And so we give thanks to him, to our Lord Jesus Christ, for saving us from the leprosy of sin, for saving us from eternal damnation, which we had won by our sins and the sins of our forefathers, Adam and Eve. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.